and leaning on the everlasting arms. You know, that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is how do we handle adversity? How do we handle dread? I'm getting a little feedback here. But before we start, I'd like to take just a brief moment to just ask the Lord to bless our time under God's Word. Lord, we just pray, God, at our time here, that you'll just open your Word. Lord, may there be new things come out in this Word, that'll just touch our hearts and help us, Lord, and to grow in our Christian walk and to trust you and lean on you more. In Jesus' name, amen. I read a little article that talked about that in the early 20th century, there's an advertisement went out in a London newspaper, and the advertisement read, "Men wanted for hazardous duty and constant danger. Safe return doubtful. Honor and recognition in case of success." Well, this ad was signed by the famous Arctic explorer, Sir Ernest Shackleton, who brought inquiries from hundreds of men wanting to go out there and explore the Arctic Circle. But you know, commenting on this, in his book, Be Faithful, Warren Wiersbe said, if Jesus Christ had advertised for workers, his announcement would have read something like this: "Men and women wanted for a difficult task of helping to build my church. You will often be misunderstood, even by those working with you. You will face constant attack from an invisible enemy. You may not see the results of your labor. Your full reward will not come until all your work is completed. It may cost you your home, your ambitions, and even your life." You know, there is something about the dangers and the difficulties of following Jesus and his message. In fact, Jesus, when he was talking to his closest followers in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, he said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it." You know, that's no different than James as well, when he wrote his book. And in the first chapter, verses 2 and 4, he says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." You know, we're not promised we'll have no troubles in our life. In fact, in light of what Jesus did for us in providing salvation, you know, that should, there's nothing in our life and difficulties we face that can match what Jesus has already done for us. In fact, sometimes God allows adversities in our life because that's what he uses to accomplish his will in our life, because that helps us shape us into the character of Christ. You know, one of my favorite stories in the Bible is in the Old Testament, and it's the story of Jehoshaphat and the nation of Israel. And it's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, which is where we're going to be looking tonight. Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah in those days was enjoying a time of great prosperity and peace. And in the midst of this time, when life was going good, they suddenly faced a real adversity. And we'll see how this is when we look at the first two verses of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It says, "After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the Meunites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, 'A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. It is already in Hezion Tamar, that is in Gedi.'" In this story right here, we see that the nation at peace and prosperity suddenly is faced with a massive enemy force coming towards them. The army of Judah is vastly outnumbered. You know, and you know, maybe you in your own life is feeling something similar. Maybe you have a major adversity coming in your life. Maybe you've lost a loved one recently. Maybe you've suffered a financial setback. You know, maybe you have a serious health problem of your own, or maybe some other problem in your life. And those trying times, when they come there, they can bring fear, and they can make us afraid. So, as you see here, the people of Judah, suddenly they were reacting in fear. And that's a natural thing. And our humanists, when troubles come on us, severe troubles, huge ones, we tend to react in fear. That's part of being human. You know, Jesus, when he walked in this earth, we know he was 100% God, yet he was also 100% man. His divine side knew what he was about to face in those last days. He knew he was going to be arrested. He was going to be beaten, whipped, and crucified for the sins of mankind. But the human side of Jesus knew the feelings of dread and fear. He knew the pain and suffering he was going to have, not only the physical suffering, but the spiritual suffering that would come from separation from the Father. And if you look at the scriptures right there, and look at the prayer Jesus prayed just before this arrest, his prayer was only 22 words long, such a short, brief, concise prayer. In Matthew 26, verses 38 and 39, it says, "And he," meaning Jesus, "said to his closest friends, 'My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me.' Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, 'My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will.'" Just consider the words Jesus said right there. He tells his closest friends, my soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Jesus himself knew what was coming. And in his prayer to the Father, he said, "If it's possible, if it is all possible, may this cup be taken away from me." See, Jesus divinely knew what was about to happen, but being both 100% God and 100% man, he also understands our own feelings. He understands what it is to have feelings of dread and fearing something. And he was praying fervently to God, if there was any other way you could save mankind other than having to go to the cross and die for the sins of mankind, may it be possible. But if it's not, not my will, but thy will be done. See, he's willing to go and face the fears and do what the Father wants. But we, you know, so but how should we, though, when we have these huge problems, troubles, adversities in our life that cause fear and dread in us, what should we do? Well, we need to go from reacting to fear to reaching out to God. And that's what we see here in starting in verse 3. It says, "Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, 'Lord, the God of our ancestors, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham your friend? They lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and we will hear you. And you will hear us, and you will save us. But now, here are the men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast enemy that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord." See, here's this reaction right there. The people, first of all, react in fear, but then we see the change. It says, Jehoshaphat, what did he do? Instead of giving in to the fear, he said he prayed to God. He reminded God of his promises. He reminded God of his power to protect. And he laid out the dilemma and the problems he was facing. And he says right there, for we are powerless before this great multitude. You know, sometimes the problems we have in our life are bigger than we can handle. And we have to let God knows they're more than we can. He says we're powerless before this great multitude are coming against us. Nor do we know what we are to do. But our eyes are on you. You know, maybe you can identify with Jehoshaphat when these things happen in your life. You know, it may not be armed forces coming against you, but it just may be a multitude of problems hitting you all at once. You know, it may be that you're having lots of changes happening in your life and they're just bombarding you. Or maybe there's just a mass of personal problems that are just accumulating and seem to be growing more and more day by day. We need to be like Jehoshaphat and just admit that we're powerless before this great multitude. And we don't really know what to do to deal with it. But Jehoshaphat knew the right response. You know, you notice it says here in the scriptures that he and his people turned their focus away from the invading forces that was coming, and they set their focus on God. You know, if I was to take a coin right now, and I should have had one out there for the purpose of demonstrating, but if I was to take a coin and I was to hold it right in front of my eye, that would block the vision of my eye. I wouldn't be able to look out there and see the East River Mountain. The coin would look huge standing right in front of my eye. But if I was to take that coin and I was to move it out an arm's length from me, I'd be able to see up in the distance. I'd be able to see the East River Mountain. And that coin wouldn't look so huge. Well, the same thing is with our problems. When we focus all our thoughts on the problems we're dealing with, our problems look huge. But when we get our eyes off the problems we have in our life and we turn our focus on God and look at God, suddenly our problems don't look as big and we realize that God is far bigger than any problems that have ever entered into our life. You know, we just need to do as a writer of Hebrews has, and we've been studying Hebrews on Wednesday nights, Hebrews 11, it's Hebrews 12:2 reminds us that we need to be fixing our eyes upon Jesus, as King James says, the author and finisher of our faith. And just like Jehoshaphat, when fear comes into our life, we need to change from fear to faith in God. Then the result will be that we will have a reassuring reply from God. Continuing to read on in verses 14, it says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and a descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, it is God's. Tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up by the path of Ziz. You will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. You know, we read earlier in verse 12, at the end of Jehoshaphat's prayer, he said, but our eyes are on you. You know, Jehoshaphat could see the armies coming against him, but he wasn't focused on him. His eyes was focused upon God. And when the prophet gave Jehoshaphat a message back from God, God's message was that he didn't need to be fearful or dismayed, because the battle is not yours, but God's. You notice, God was telling them they didn't even have to fight this battle. That if they turn it over to God, God would fight it for him. You know, and that could be the same kind of thing in our life too. We need to turn things to God. You know, I heard an interesting illustration lately. A man took his car into the local garage and he spoke to the mechanic there. He went on and on about all the problems his car had, all the things that was not working right. And then he got in his car, he drove off and drove back home. And as he was driving home, he complained to himself, the mechanic didn't do anything. My car still's got all these problems. It's, as worthless and broken. Well, we know the answer there. What he didn't realize is he needed to have left his car at the garage with the mechanic so the mechanic could fix the problems. But how is it in our own life we tend to do the same things? We come before God and we share Him all the concerns of our heart, all the things that's wrong in our life. And what do? We walk away. We drag those problems back with us. And we try to solve them on our own, and it doesn't work well. We need to, if we give them to God, we need to leave them with God. And then, if you want victory, that's the answer. You know, God told Jehoshaphat and Judah there, He said, just stand firm and see the deliverance. He didn't say, run out and try to solve it on your own. Stand firm and let God. Many times in the Scriptures, we're told to just stand firm and let God. Oftentimes, we get antsy. We think we've got to help God. We've got to move it along. But that's not what God tells them to do here. God's promise led to a rallying faith in God. And starting at verse 18, it says, Jehoshaphat bowed down with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down and worshipped before the Lord. Then some Levites and Kohathites and Korathites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a loud voice. Early in the morning, they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in His prophets, and you will be successful. I want to point out right here that God had promised to deliver the people of Judah from the invading forces, but it hadn't happened yet. There'd be no deliverance yet. The invading armies were still amassing on the border and still prepared to attack at a moment's notice. But we see here with a response to God's promise from Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah. It said they responded to God's promise of deliverance, first of all, by worshiping God, praising God, and placing complete faith in God's promise to deliver them. You know, they hadn't received their deliverance yet, but they acted in faith as if that promise was a sure thing. You know, they didn't wait until God fulfilled His promise before they praised Him. They praised Him ahead of time. Isn't that what we've been studying in the Grow class in Hebrews? In Hebrews 11:1, it says, Now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. See, they didn't see it yet, but they had faith it was going to happen, and they already praised and thanked God for something that had not yet occurred. And that leads to responding in praise to God. In verse 21, it says, After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness as they went out at the head of the army saying, Give thanks to the Lord for His love endures forever. You know, the king here did an interesting thing. He appointed unarmed choir members to march out ahead of the army towards the advancing invading army. You know, God hadn't acted yet. God hadn't delivered them yet. The army was still coming, fully armed and fully prepared to destroy Judah. How would you like to be in that choir that was leading the march towards the enemy, armed only with praises to God? It would have taken some real faith, wouldn't it? Well, you know, our praise shouldn't be contingent upon the things going our way. You know, I like it how Habakkuk understood the same. And when he wrote in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, he expresses his feelings. He says, Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no fruit, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. See, Habakkuk was willing to praise God no matter what happened in his life. And we need to keep praising the Lord no matter what's happening. That is the real solution if you want to have real victory in your life. You know, no matter what's coming against you or threatens to overwhelm you, we still need to be praising God. I mean, if you have nothing else in your life, the gift of salvation is greater than anything. You know, it's a very similar story in the Bible. I was remembered as we were reading through a Bible this year. It was a story of Joshua. Moses had just left. God had taken Moses home. And Joshua and the people of Israel were standing on the banks of the Jordan River. It was flooded. And they were looking across the river at the promised land God had promised them. But yet, it was dangerous to cross. The river was raging at this time, high waters, and flowing swiftly. But God gave Joshua some instructions. God told Joshua to have the priest pick up the Ark of the Covenant and wade out into the Jordan River. Now, it took faith in those priests. The river was raging. You know, we took a swollen river. We know what flash floods look like. It would take faith to walk out into a flash-flooded river. But those priests did what God told them to do. They says they walked out into the water, and when the priest got into the water, it says, then God stopped the River Jordan from flowing, and the people of Israel was able to cross over on dry land. You know, it took faith to do that. It's an action. That's another example of faith in action. You know, first the people praised and worshiped God, and then there was a resultant victory by God, starting in verse 22. It says, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped destroy one another. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off the plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing, and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. You notice here the Lord's deliverance didn't come right away. The Lord's deliverance, it said, came after this unarmed choir advanced towards the army singing praises to God. It wasn't before they started, but it was as they marched and praising God. They had to take a step of faith first. And when they did that, God provided the deliverance. Only after the people responded in faith, obedience, and praise. You know, God sometimes expects us to do the same thing. He expects us to step out in praise before he steps in. And he does that not because he can't do it right away or couldn't do it without waiting on us, but God knows that if we step out in faith, trusting him and his promises, that we'll grow and mature in our Christian walk. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be more stronger Christian faith. And we only get that by exercising our faith. Just like you exercise your body, you get your body stronger. The more you exercise your faith, the stronger your faith becomes. You know, sometimes we don't have victories in our life because we don't step out in faith as we should. We stand back and we're waiting on God to see what he's going to do next. When God is waiting on us to take the first step, and then he will go through and do what needs to be done. You know, there's a story in Luke's Gospel, in the 17th chapter, I think it is, about the 10 lepers. Most of you know this particular story. But Jesus is passing through the countryside, and 10 lepers come up to him, and they are fervently begging Jesus to heal them of their leprosy. Many times when people came, Jesus touched them and healed them. But these 10 lepers, it doesn't say Jesus healed them. Jesus didn't even tell them he was going to heal them. Jesus told them to go and show yourself to the priest. And then Jesus continued on his way. Well, read the story. These 10 lepers, they got up and they headed down the road, headed towards the priest. They still covered with their leprosy. But it says, as they traveled down the road to see the priest, they were healed of their leprosy. You ever wonder what would happen to these lepers if they just stood around Jesus, continued begging him or waiting for him to heal them? I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell. But we do know that Jesus was wanting them to exercise their faith, to demonstrate their faith by doing what he said. And when they did that, then the healing came upon them. You know, that's the kind of reason that James says in chapter 2, verse 18. show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by my deeds. James had already learnt this lesson, that we need to sometimes, if we can say we have faith, but sometimes they're hollow words if we don't put it into action, if we don't follow through. You know, when our plans go awry, disappointments come up, or struggles tend to just overwhelm us, you know, we just need to take a step back and do as Jehoshaphat and the people of Judah did. We just need to turn back and start praising the Lord. Because when we start praising the Lord, we realize suddenly that we're no longer focusing on those troubles and difficulties in our life. We're focusing on God. And those troubles and difficulties no longer seem to be as big or as important or weighing us down as much as they had before. Only then that God is able to give us victory when we turn to Him instead of turning all our attention to the problems in our life. But back to Jehoshaphat and the story we're reading right here, there's an interesting twist in this one. You know, God had told them, you don't need to fight this battle. He said, station yourselves, stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. You know, oftentimes when we do have problems, somebody will come up and tell you, don't, you know, just don't stand there, do something. Well, that's not always the case right here. God is telling Jehoshaphat and people, don't try to do it yourself. Trust me, have faith in me. Just stand by and watch what I'm going to do. And it takes a lot of patience sometimes. God does not always move in our timetable. We're used to wanting things immediate. Most of us, myself included, are microwave Christians. We want things done in 3 minutes. Don't want 30 minutes. Or don't want to be, in some cases, wait years for things. I mean, you see a lot of these Old Testament stories of Abraham waiting on a child or Joseph getting rescued out of prison. It took a long time. But it was all in God's timing, not ours. But when God tells us to wait, we need to wait. Instead, we oftentimes just try to work harder, try harder. You know, we try to confront the things ourselves, and it makes a mess of it instead of praising God and letting God do it. But as a result of God's deliverance, we see there that there was a resounding joy to God in verses 26 through 30. And verse 26 says, on the fourth day they assembled in the valley of Berakah, and they praised the Lord. That's why it's called the Valley of Berakah to this day. Then, led by Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem returned joyfully to Jerusalem. For the Lord had given them cause to rejoice over their enemies. They entered Jerusalem and went to the temple of the Lord with harps and lyres and trumpets. The fear of the Lord came on all the surrounding kingdoms when they heard how the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. You know, some things we can learn right here. In our own prayer life, we spend a lot of time telling God the things we want Him to do, the things, the needs. And God does tell us to bring before Him our needs and our petitions. And He wants to hear what the things we care about. But it's just as important that we spend a similar amount of time praising God and thanking God for answered prayers. You know, the real key point I see in this story right here is Jehoshaphat and the nation of Judah, they took time to praise and thank God before the deliverance, and they did it again after the deliverance. You know, how many times in our own life there if we do it, it's usually just after. You know, this is the thing that brings joy to God's heart, is when we trust Him enough that we praise Him for something that He's promised to do before He's done it. It shows that we have faith that He's going to do it. In fact, Psalms 22:3 says, God resides in the praises of His people. Isn't that amazing? God made us, and He enjoys us praising Him. You want to bring joy to God, then praise Him. You know, sometimes we don't do enough of that right there. It's an interesting concept when you think of God's omnipotent. He's all-powerful, and He can do all these things. But God made us for His pleasure. And we should bring Him pleasure. You know, Just think about yourself. If your children only came to you when they wanted something, and they never thanked you for anything, they never... You know, we don't want to be like that. God is our Heavenly Father. We need to treat Him the way we'd want our children treating us. You know, the Word tells us that He'd never leave us nor forsake us. And Jesus said He'd be with us to the end of the age as we go along in obedience to His call to the nations. You know, it is a reality that God can be with us and Jesus can be with us. You know, it brings a little peace to one if you're not conscious of God's presence. You're not conscious of the joy that you can have by knowing Jesus and not knowing the power and the blessings and the peace that you can come from knowing Him. You know, for those of you that are here today and those listening in, and do you really know the loving Jesus? I don't know what kind of adversity each one of you might be feeling in your life today or what you may be going through in your life. But I want to encourage you, if you are facing things, be sure that you know Jesus as Lord and Savior, because He can help you through these times. You know, Micah in the Old Testament, and I like Old Testament too, just like the New Testament, Micah had the right idea in the Old Testament. Micah 7:7 says, "But as for me, I watch and hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Savior. My God will hear me." And that's the same thing. If you want the Lord in your life to help you through these times and treat you, you just have to call out to the Lord. And He is always listening. So if you haven't made Jesus as your Lord and Savior of your life, I urge you to do here so today. Thank you all. I just want to close with a word of prayer. Lord, we just thank You, God, for Your promises, for Your protection on us, Lord. Lord, we need to praise You more. We need to be more thankful, more grateful, Lord. We need, Lord, to be trusting. We need to put more faith in action and not just say it in words, but to do it in a way that demonstrates it to others, God, that we trust and believe You, God. May we, God, always be seeking to bring joy to You through our praises and our life and the way we act. I pray that everyone here listening, God, knows You as Lord. And if they don't, I pray, God, they will seek You out as Lord and Master of their life, Lord. Thank You, God, for loving us, for dying for us and caring for us, and for Your goodness, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all.